So over the weekend, of course, we know Operation Midnight Hammer took place. Of course, it was the massive, complicated mission that struck three key Iranian nuclear facilities on Saturday, calling it the largest B-2 operational strike in U.S. history. It was a highly classified bombing that went off, and it did go off without a hitch. But of course, we want to get more information about what it is like over in Iran. And I immediately looked at Lucas and Manning Kimmel and said, I'm going to get my friend Shahram Mazhari, who is a professor, of course, at York Technical College. He is the professor over the Teleproduction Technology Program. It's a program that I went through, and I'm here today because of Shahram Mazhari. And so I not only call him my old professor, but also an old friend. And so I thought, what better person to really give us some insight as to not only what this means here in America, but what it means to the people over in Iran. I think that we think that everyone in Iran is part of the regime. It's part of the terrorist group. And we know that not to be true. But I want people to hear that from you who grew up there and who, of course, still has family there. So I think that was a pretty good intro. I'm now going to give the mic to you. Just kind of set the stage as to what life in Iran is like for all people. What does that look like? So let's set that stage.
First of all, good morning to your viewers and listeners. And thank you so much for inviting me. As I said prior to the show, coming here is like visiting my family. So thank you for that intro. Really appreciate the kind words. Life has become even more difficult after the Israeli and American strikes in Iran. So to set the stage, I'll just give you some bullet-like overview. This war is not the people of Iran's war. This war is the Ayatollah's war. This is what Khamenei has made possible by spending trillions of dollars for the past 45 years. Khamenei has been in power for 36 years. So, and he's got a strong grip on the power. He's got close to 2-3 million people that support him. And out of all the close to 90 million Iranians, most of them are really, you know, they're hostages in Iran, in their own land. So this is a result of, as I said, 45 years of promoting terrorism, sponsoring terrorism, killing, executing Iranians, killing and taking hostages, Americans and the Middle Easterns and so forth. And the Ayatollah's regime has been involved in assassination of so many Iranian dissidents, especially in Europe. And so life is very difficult for the Iranian people just by it is, and then add a huge war to it and bombs being thrown all over the place. So it's pretty devastating. It is obvious that I don't know any people in the world that want war, Iranians being one. Iranians do not want war. They want peace. They want to live happy and have a mutually beneficial trade relationship with the neighboring countries and across the world. So the reason I am here is to tell people that the regime is not supported by the Iranian people. This is a regime that is dictatorial, and this is a regime that is inhuman, and this is a regime that persecutes women, puts children to work, and killing Iranians or anybody else for this regime is really nothing.
You have family still in Iran. Have you spoken to them since Operation Midnight Hammer?
I have. Thank goodness they are safe. Obviously, everybody's stressed because as soon as the strikes happened in the past 4 or 5 days, the internet was completely disconnected. So, and in today's world, most of the communication that we have with the outside world is through cell phones and internet and so forth. So many Iranians. There are 8 million Iranians outside of Iran, and we didn't know how to contact our family members. We didn't know if they're safe. We didn't even know if they're alive. So imagine the level of stress that each and every Iranian national would have outside of Iran, let alone those who live inside the country.
With that being said, Sharam, the areas that were hit, were they near cities? Were they more isolated? Can you kind of maybe help paint that picture for our audience?
I'm thinking that you're talking about the three sites
Correct.
That
yes,
President
sir.
Trump gave permission to hit. They are not near living communities. They're in isolated areas. And thank goodness, except those people who are working at those sites, which they're really not terrorists. They could be you and me showing up to work. Mm-hmm. It's a governmental job. Some of those people have been perished. But during those three strikes, not many people have been killed.
I know that you have since made contact with some of your family, and they are okay. Are you getting a clear feeling of how the Iranian people feel about that? I mean, are they quietly cheering on what happened? Are they not for this? Are they thinking, okay, this might kind of be the end of that regime being torn down? What's the overall initial feeling?
Well, to give you a little context, Iranian people are some of the most pro-American nationals that I have ever known. And there are roots for that, and there's historic reasons for that, but we're not going to get into this morning. But having said that, though they love America, though they admire Americans, but they don't like to be bombed by any forces. So when President Trump says, for example, or any president, or Netanyahu says that we're going to bomb such and such site, we need you to be clearing out as quickly as possible. So you can imagine the level of anxiety that injects into the veins of society. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I don't think they're happy with the bombings, but they are happy with what could come after these bombings. Mm-hmm. More specifically, the attacks that have been carried out by the Israelis. Because the Israelis have basically attacked and wiped out the entire, leadership in the IRGC, which is a terrorist organization, Revolutionary Guards. And so that kind of makes people happy, and it makes some people hopeful that maybe this is the first time in the past 45 years where Iranians might have an opportunity to basically topple the regime.
Sharam, are you afraid of any pushback that you might receive talking about this situation here in the United States?
Well, anytime you come on a broadcast, be it radio, television, whatever, your family is going to be potentially in danger because the Iranian regime, not the Iranian regime, the Islamic regime, has spent billions of dollars to snoop on other people, to listen in, they have a huge intelligence system, one of the strongest in the world, just because they're so afraid that if propaganda, something like this, talks like this and across the world, that might give them a negative light, if you will. So they're afraid of that. So in order to intimidate somebody like me, they might actually bother my family or question them or persecute them. But enough is enough. I mean, if you want freedom, there's a price. Mm. And hopefully that price, Iranians have already paid the high price. How much more should they pay for the freedom that we enjoy here? And they deserve to live happy like any other country. They deserve to have good jobs, good economics, and Iran is one of the richest countries, potentially is one of the richest countries in the world because of the oil reserves and the gas and so forth. So why shouldn't they be able to live in a prosperous society?
And with that being said, when you communicate with your family, is there a safe way to communicate with them so others are not hearing in, to your point earlier, due to your conversation?
Well, the channels of communication have become somewhat open in the past 2 days. So, you know, you can send a text and then wait for it, you know, to get there. And then I'm sure there is filtration, but I don't think they can detect millions of texts that go back and forth between, you know, people in Iran. So no matter what the regime of Iran does, or regime of the Ayatollahs, I keep saying Iran, I like to strip the name Iran from the regime. I believe that the Iranians have nothing to do with this regime. The Iranians do not vote for this regime, no matter how many times the cronies of the regime say, oh, we're supported by X number of people, 40, 50, 80% of the Iranians. That is absolutely not true. But they can't control these people. They cannot control the generations that are coming up. During the Women Life Movement 2-3 years ago, the Iranian youth displayed that they're among the most progressive-minded youth that any country enjoys to have. So I like to believe that the future is bright. I like to believe that the Iranians are going to finally take the control of their own destiny and their own nation. It's one of the best nations that's contributed immensely to the world civilization throughout history. And why not now? There's not a university, there's not a college, there's not a research place in the United States that you go and talk to, and some of their staff is not from Iran. So these are intelligent, educated people, very cultured people, unfortunately are ruled, and their country is taken over by a whole bunch of backward religious forces.
So this is an opportunity, you believe, for the Iranian people to rise up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it has been my hope. That's why I'm here.
To take it back.
That's why I'm here, to kind of communicate with people that, you know, we need to support the Iranians. We need to support the youth of Iran. We need to support the women of Iran. We need to ask for all the political prisoners to be freed immediately. Because of all these attacks, they've taken the political prisoners and relocated them to some place that nobody knows where. Ever since the Israelis started attacking Iran, the number of executions have skyrocketed. And innocent people are getting killed. As soon as you say something against the government, they're going to label you as you're a spy for Israel. And you know what that means. So that gives them power or the reason to execute them. So this is not a regime that humble opinion, that the American government should sit across the table and talk to. It's absolutely useless. We've done that for 45 years. Presidents have done that for years. Obama, Biden, some of the biggest mistakes that the Obama administration and the Biden administrations made was they were hopeful that they can sit across the table and talk to a whole bunch of terrorists. And this is the result that we're experiencing right now.
Well, we certainly appreciate the conversation.
Absolutely. Setting the stage and, you know, really, because I think we as Americans, too, we think that everyone over there is a part of the regime. No one's really broken it down like that. And so to know that there's other people, and that really the regime is a small percentage in the grand scheme of things of the actual country.
Yes. So. One of the key things when the Ayatollah Khomeini, which is the father of this so-called revolution, said when he came to Iran, when they asked him, how do you feel about having come to Iran after being exiled for 15 years? And he says, I have no feelings. Iran is not the thing. We are trying to promote Islam. We're going to make every nation think Islamic for as long as he's alive. And that is the kind of situation you're dealing with. So, but I thank you for the opportunity. This has been great. So,
thank you.
Continued prayers to your family.
Thank you.
And I know we'll be thinking about them. And so we'll continue the conversation here on Palmetto Mornings. And Sharam, we appreciate you coming here on this platform.
Absolutely.
We really do, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity.